Hello, everybody. Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast number 68. Today, we're going to discuss some box office numbers. Let's go through a quick top five. We're going to talk about the movie Date Night. Talk a little bit about Clash of the Titans again. The story we didn't get to see, but we should have. We are going to then discuss Green Lantern and the CGI suit.
Full CGI suit.
We are also going to discuss Spider-Man, the reboot, and this whole thing around surrounding Logan Lerman being cast.
Just casting rumors in general with how bad they've gotten for it.
Oh, jeez, it's awful.
We'll get to it.
And what else are we going to talk about?
Conan O'Brien,
yeah.
Moving to TBS.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So let's do it. All right, we're going to introduce our panel for today. I am your host, Dr. Vegman.
Bob Meek, sitting over here. Sitting over there.
Yeah. Everybody can see you sitting.
Dang it!
Mazer. It's Abe Froman sitting over here.
Ben P.
P. Vader, and I'm over here.
Over where?
Here.
Over here.
Underwear?
So let's move on to the box office number, shall we, people? All right, number one this week. Neck and neck, Clash of the Titans and Date Night. Yesterday, Date Night was ahead of Clash of the Titans, but over the weekend, Clash of the Titans kind of like snuck in there, you know, a couple hundred more thousand dollars.
A good million dollars.
Boom.
And took over Date Night, fortunately. Clash of the Titans, real quick. We kind of tore that movie apart last week, but just want to discuss, just real quick.
Yes.
There was some news that broke over on Chud this week of the Clash of the Titans remake movie that we didn't get to see. There were scenes that were actually shot to where this movie would have been completely different from the one we saw.
All the motivations.
It actually would have made sense. So, yeah, if you haven't got a chance to read this, you definitely might want to check it out. It goes through and discusses how
Perseus and Andromeda would have...
Yeah, there was actually a relationship. I mean, it follows more of the original movie. It's pretty much what this
thing is saying. It's weird because they did reshoots. Is that the reshoots they're talking about? Or
the reshoots are probably the reshoots that made the movie suck.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Probably.
Because all the good stuff apparently ended up on the cutting room floor. That's very sad.
That's too bad. Maybe it wasn't good stuff. Maybe it was really, really bad. And the only way they could make the film work is to streamline it and give it such a weird, crappy story to just salvage it so that it's at least watchable instead of it being terrible.
We'll never know. On paper, it looks great.
What they have written down sounds like the movie would have been so much more amazing had they gone that route.
Because when you have reshoots like this, usually it's the studio requesting these reshoots.
I definitely think the studio had a hand in releasing this theatrical cut. They said that this other cut might not even make it to DVD for the fact they're going to have to add in special effects and spend more money on making the film, and I don't think they're going to end up doing that.
We might get a director's cut, I'm sure. I heard the Troy director's cut is a lot better. I've heard that the Kingdom of Heaven director's cut is better as well. I haven't seen either.
It's weird to have director's cut nowadays because usually directors
get their cut nowadays. It used to be a really...
Depends.
It used to be a particular occurrence that happened a lot in like the 80s and 90s, but as of late, that doesn't really happen anymore.
Yeah.
I think, and I didn't see Clash of the Titans, but from reading the Chud article and stuff like that, we might even, what you were just saying where they might not spend the money to make the special effects on it. We might see something akin to the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
True.
Where it's just the unfinished footage kind of put in there anyway, without the special effects.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Army of Darkness.
Yeah, although
Army of Darkness
and Superman 2 are kind of beloved properties, and I don't know if Clash of the Titans deserves a treatment like that. But
no one's going to go back.
That's the thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if the full story isn't realized the way it was written on paper in this article, I don't really care to see it.
I think Bryan Singer will in 20 years, 30 years, make a remake, but not really. It'll be kind of a sequel, and he'll kind of use...
It takes place in between in between the prequel and this one.
But Perseus...
That's an impression of has a son. Brisinger sneezing, by the way.
Yeah. Dead-on impression.
It's pretty good.
So, you know, I don't know. Ultimately, the theatrical cut just was so disappointing in every way.
Yeah, I don't care. They'll remake this again in 10 years.
Not enough. I think they're remaking it currently. It's called War of the Gods.
Yeah, they have War of the Gods coming out. They're also doing
the Immortals. The Immortals. That's
the
right.
Immortals. There can be only one.
That movie sounds
but several
awesome,
gods.
Though.
Yeah, that movie sounds like it's going to be good. What? Yeah, I'm kind
of better than if we saw a God of War.
Oh, God of War would be freaking amazing. So,
what about a Killer Instinct? Killer
Instinct. They're also remaking Jason the Argonauts as well. So that's something not to look forward to.
Yeah.
After seeing Clash, I just you know, Jason the Argonauts is another film that I grew up on that I absolutely loved. That I don't want to see trashed.
It's always depends whose hand is in the project. If it was like Peter Jackson,
I'd be
awesome,
excited,
right? But
yeah.
If we see the same director, well, I don't even know what the guy's name is.
Louis Leterrier.
That guy.
Yeah.
Do Jason? You'd be like, no. Louis Leterrier.
And I want him to stay away from the Avengers, for the record.
Hey, Beth.
Hands off.
Hands off the Avengers. Hands off my Avengers. Okay.
Lego my ego.
Number two this week, Date Night.
My wife and I are on a date. We were hoping to get here earlier, actually get a table.
You didn't quite make it, did you?
We'll be standing over there.
Okay, I've already forgotten about you.
All right.
Triple horn, party of two.
Maybe we should go someplace else.
I want tonight to be different.
Triple horn.
Us.
What are you doing?
We are the triple horns.
Great.
Did you really think you could steal from Joe Mileto?
This is just a big misunderstanding. We are Phil and Claire Foster.
Great God! No, he turned it sideways. Kill shot!
We're gonna find the triple horns.
What are you doing here?
We didn't have a reservation, so we took yours, and now they think that we're you.
You just took our reservation?
What kind of people are you?
Not a big deal!
They had no idea who they were dealing with.
Morgan.
Honey, if I'm gonna get whacked off, what are you smiling about?
No, we might get bumped off. We're not going to get whacked off.
I think we are.
Talk about that real quick, because I saw it, and I know Mazer saw it.
Yeah, I would say there's nothing particularly amazing about this. It does make me feel like it was kind of like that slight... It reminds me kind of an 80s comedy adventure film, and kind of, I think... my wife used the correct word, shenanigans happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was from the trailer, I think they held back a lot of funny stuff to keep from sabotaging the film. That happens way too much nowadays, where you have all the best parts of a comedy in the trailer, and then you watch it. It's just, I already saw all the best stuff. This one, I wouldn't say they kept the best stuff, but they definitely kept a lot to keep you interested in the film.
Yeah, I was worried after seeing the trailer, honestly. Like, I wasn't really excited about seeing this movie, but I was really pleasantly surprised with it. I laughed all the way through it. I thought it was pretty... I mean, it was one of those things that I'm probably going to forget fairly soon.
I've already forgotten.
But while
but I enjoyed it while watching it. That's the thing.
It did its job to entertain me. Yeah. It was great. And, like, Steve Carell and Tina Fey were fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, the script itself wasn't particularly, I don't know, moving or whatever. Like,
nah,
just, but it or that original. But their comedic timing definitely elevated it way above, you know, what it deserved to be.
I mean, it's definitely a gimmick to get the two together and star in a movie. You know,
yeah.
Like here you have the two lead actors
Thursday
night NBC comedy lineup teaming together for a movie where they go out on a date.
Which is interesting, since it was put out by 20th Century Fox and not
Universal, right?
Which, you know, kind of owns NBC. But
surprised they're not going to do a Joel McHale, Amy Poehler movie.
Wait, so you're saying NBC Universal is making bad moves? Weird.
Wait, when did that happen?
Mazer, I wouldn't dare suggest anything like that.
but yeah, I went in with completely low expectations.
Yeah, I did too. Nothing else came out this
weekend. I went to it because
so.
my wife wanted to see it. If my wife wasn't going to take me, didn't want to see this movie, I wasn't going to go see it. I would have cared less. So,
I kind of went on your recommendation
after
hearing you say,
like,
yeah,
I liked it.
It
was better than I expected.
Yeah.
So.
That's good, because I
didn't go see it because the more I saw from like TV spots, the less excited I got.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What about, you see in the trailer, you see Mark Wahlberg, you see Mia Kunis and James Franco. What kind of, how big of parts do they play?
Small.
All the cameos were really small. I mean, even Ray Liotta has a small cameo in
it.
But it
ruined the cameo.
He's barely in the movie.
And he's not even there for anything funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It was, I mean, I thought Wahlberg was just a little bit above a cameo as far as his part.
Yeah.
Because he showed up twice.
He was a little bit more integral in the story. Franco and Kunis were, like, definitely kind of bit players. But they were good. Like, all three of them were good. Like, I enjoyed all of them. It wasn't like you got to that part and you're like, freaking A. Like, just get through this. You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't say there was a weak comedic performance in any of it.
There wasn't stunt casting or anything. Like, everybody did really well. Even, like, Common and I think Jimmy Simpson is the other guy's name who plays like one of those weird brothers, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He and Common played the kind of like goons that come after Steve Carell and Tina Fey when they get that case of mistaken identity with the triple horns. And I thought they were good as kind of in all the movies like that. There's always like the two kind of thugs that team up, you know, like, and exactly. Sin City made fun of it the best when like they are always speaking in like these really arty dialogue and like, you know, heady kind of intellectual speak, and then because most of the time they're just kind of like run of the mill guys, but I thought they did well too.
Yeah, it was a good solid comedy.
Yeah,
money you don't have to see in theaters if you don't want to. It's not like you're missing anything. You rent it and be entertained just as much. So
yeah,
just saying, you know, if you don't want to go spend $12, $13, $14, $15, $16
Whatever ridiculous thing it is.
How's the number of people you're going with?
how are Tina Fey and Steve Carell? Are they just Tina Fey and Steve Carell, or somewhat different?
Is Steve Carell different than all the other characters he plays?
Yeah.
No,
I think the most different look.
I think they're both pretty just same. Steve Carell and.
When you see like Dinner for Schmucks, he's kind of see.
He's not putting on a persona. Yeah. He's just trying to be the everyman.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much it.
I saw an interesting interview on Harpo on Friday. She interviewed Tina Fey and Steve Carell, and they said that after every shot they did, the director said, all right, let's do the same shot, same scene, but you can improv whatever you want, throw in whatever you want. So a lot of the movie actually was improv.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool. So,
and I think you can tell that,
which is
too.
A testament to the writers.
Fantastic talent.
No, there are definitely, and in the credits sequence, they show the improv stuff and like outtakes and things like that that are gag reel stuff. That was fun. But yeah, you can tell that was the case where like you know they let them kind of have their fun. It's like a Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura type of feel where like you know like just watching it, they're like, all right, this wasn't written. Like this just comes because these two are really funny.
I always wanted to see, like, I love it when, like, comedies have, like, the gag reel at the end. I always want to see, like, at the end of a really dramatic film, like, after watching Precious, all of a sudden, gag reel. At the end of the you know, like Monique Spanks, like, splitting apart. And
if you put on the DVD and watch after the credits of Schindler's List, things get really funny.
Wow. Ray Fiennes.
It's a joke,
crack.
Okay? It's a joke.
Yeah. Awesome.
Number three.
How to Train Your Dragon. Hanging in there in the top five, so that's good. Great
movie. It's
going
strong. It only dropped 14%. Yeah. So people.
It's a great film.
It really is.
I
would say if you are looking to go out to the movies this week, see How to Train Your Dragon before you see Date Night. But
yeah.
But
or go see it again if you've seen it already.
Yeah. It's worth it.
It's a great movie.
It really is.
Number four, Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2? Why Did You Get Married 2?
Did you get it? Because it's T-O-O as a T-W-O, or number two as it makes it a sequel. Why Did I Get Married 3D?
And then $11 million. Yeah.
It dropped 62%.
Yeah, Tyler Perry's on his way out.
I really don't think his bank account is really suffering
much. You know, Spirit is, because you see him in Star Trek, that was the first set he'd ever been on that wasn't his own set.
You know, let me tell you this, though. Tyler Perry literally built his way up on his own out of nothing.
Yeah.
And I got to say that I do respect the guy for what he's become, because he literally came as nothing and built up what he has.
I mean, in the same way I respect Carrot Top, you know?
Exactly.
You're like, I don't like your stuff, but you're making a lot of money.
Exactly.
Clearly, you've done something right.
You've been successful.
Well, the budget for this was $20 million. In 2 weeks, they made $48 million. In 2 weeks, so by week,
they doubled their investment. So yeah. Is it really a failure?
And then comes out on DVD, yeah. They make double that.
Yeah,
that's almost quadruple.
Yeah, so yeah, they'll probably walk away with like $60 million in profit off.
And they'll make more.
And it's not they'll make, it's just Tyler.
They'll make,
yeah, it's just Tyler.
How they'll make Tyler Perry's "Why Did I Get Married 3?"
3D. No, and he knows the budget he's got to work with. I mean, $20 million is not a big, but not a small budget.
Yeah,
it's definitely not small.
Yeah, so you can kind of shoot any story you want on $20 million. So pretty much, like he's set to just keep like what
he's
like,
doing. What Kevin
he's the
Smith,
Black Woody Allen.
He's doing what Kevin
he's
Smith
like,
did in the '90s. Yeah,
he's doing what Kevin Smith should still be doing, but for some reason isn't.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on, but whatever.
Snookins.
Okay, number five, the last song that is the Miley Cyrus.
Cyrus.
I'm on a boat, y'all.
Hey. I'm going to teach these American Idol people how to sing.
I think that's all we should have said. Should we just move on?
I didn't come here for some stupid summer flying.
Oh, man.
All right, so...
You should do voiceover radio work for Miley Cyrus.
Hi, y'all!
We love you, Miley.
She ends up sounding more and more like Gomer Pyle. Shazam!
All right, so that's your top five for the week.
Along with some other stuff sprinkled in there, too.
Yeah.
with a review.
How about we talk about some Green Lantern in his full CGI suit? Because I think that's interesting. I think that's something we should talk about as geeks, because I think that we have something to offer the geek community.
You have to justify us ranting about this?
That's what we've been doing for 68 episodes.
If they spend the money, I think it could be cool, but the thing is, I don't understand why.
Well, let's have Ben kind of break it down exactly what
kind of
is going on. Break it down, Ben.
I wrote this up.
Like in a rap.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow! Give me a beat, and I'll do it. No, I'm not gonna do it. Don't. How awesome would that be, though, if I did this entire this entire segment of freestyle rap? No. All right. So basically, what happened is Peter over at Slash Film kind of broke this exclusive story, confirmed it with three independent sources that Ryan Reynolds' suit in Martin Campbell's upcoming Green Lantern film will be made. Kind of constructed completely in CGI. So he's going to be wearing like a, essentially like a gray tracksuit, or a, like a motion tracking suit.
Like the guys that in Pirates.
Yeah, with like kind of motion balls or whatever, whatever the, how that works.
You said motion balls.
Awesome. Yes.
We're taking this podcast to a high level.
Oh, yeah.
Stepping
top
it up.
Top shelf.
Apparently it's third grade.
Yeah. So and then they're gonna implement the suit in post production, which initially when I heard about this, I'm like, really? Like that sounds really bizarre. Like I don't really know if I dig it. But then after kind of really thinking about it and seeing the justification for it, it actually kind of makes sense because apparently, and I'm not a huge Green Lantern
aficionado.
Right, aficionado. Nice.
You have to say it like this. I'm not a huge Green Lantern aficionado.
Sip my brandy or something while I'm saying it. But
I'm barely holding on to the breath of life.
But apparently the suit is kind of worn by all of the different alien creatures or races that, operate the Green Lantern power rings. And apparently the idea is to, by using CG to create this suit, it's going to give it kind of an otherworldly feel, separating it from the things like we've seen before that have just become like the kind of standard spandex superhero stuff like in Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and, you know, these things. It's not going to be...
I still love the Spider-Man suit. That thing looks fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, that stuff holds up. I think it's just like they're trying to break away from the traditional look. And
well, it has become spandex with a little bit of texture print on it.
Yeah.
All of it now.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, there's that version, and then there's something like Daredevil and Watchmen, where it's, like, a little bit more bulky.
Leathery.
And like, leather-based. So those seem to be, like, the two kind of superhero costume designs that we've seen over the past decade. And this, I mean, it's going to be a new thing. Like, we've never seen this before in a superhero film before. So, I mean, I don't know.
And it makes sense that, I guess, the suit would continue to transform and stuff. It could do pretty interesting things.
Now, if Reynolds' suit, Green Lantern, if his suit is going to be CGI, then I assume everybody else's suit is going to be CGI as well. All the other characters.
I would assume as well. Yeah.
So there, because we know, Ryan Reynolds did give, when he talked about his suit, he said there's nothing, you know, it doesn't really hide anything. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's like a snug, very
snug. Yeah, it's a very snug fit, which would make sense. I mean, if he's wearing spandex
right
while he's shooting, it's a pretty snug fit.
Yeah, and they can do their touch-ups in CG and stuff. So, and it's like, I don't know. I think, like, what do you guys think about it? Is this something, well, that, would you prefer to see it in a more traditional style?
If it looks good, I don't have a problem.
Continue. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, if it looks awesome and it, you know, it comes off, you know, the design is great and it works, then great. But if it comes off as something like when they did in Alice in Wonderland, where Crispin Glover's character, his head was the only thing that wasn't CG, he had a full CG body, annoyed the hell out of me through the whole movie.
It's badly done.
It's very badly done, and I don't think they do it like that, but.
We have a lot of CG suit for Robert Downey in Iron Man.
Yeah, to bring that up. The reason I back it and I trust that it will be pretty seamless is the fact that, when you see Robert Downey Jr. in the suit now, in the first film they use it a little bit less, but it's so bulky, it's hard to move with. Now, like, a lot of it when he's in the suit, it's just all...
Yeah, there's just, certain, like, maybe just a shoulder part that's, like, the actual thing, and then
everything else is there. But it's kind of weird, though, that they... I feel like they might not have the design. They haven't agreed on a design. They're like, we gotta get this on going, and so they can do that. Because to give something an otherworldly look, that's something you can do in post on a design that you have already.
Yeah, and
I'm wondering if they built
a practical suit, which they are recreating, and then they're doing something to the material to it or something that's not normal.
But I don't know if they. My thing is, they might not have the design locked. Like, they couldn't agree on design, but they have Ryan Reynolds for a certain. They have these actors for a certain window, and they got to get something going.
I mean, this makes me wonder. Like you said, you know, if they are going to use a practical suit and then put 3D, you know, CGI stuff on it, enhance it, or if it's just going to be all like even the movements and stuff. In 3D.
Well, it's because the suit comes out of the ring, so maybe there's something to the material that they're doing that they can't. But I mean, even then, like, it seems like you would want a practical suit to track to or something. But
right.
Well, they said it's a pretty basic. In the article, it doesn't say it's a pretty basic motion capture suit.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like LED lights and stuff on it. It's not. Yeah, it's very.
It's not Dr. Manhattan. Right. Where it's a green light glowing off of.
Yeah, that's what he said in the article at Slashfilm, was that, you know, that there are white LED lights on the suit that Reynolds is wearing, and he was wondering if it was going to be like a Dr. Manhattan effect, where it was like that on purpose so that the light would kind of emanate onto other characters and actually play into the movie, but from what he understands, it's not going to be the case. So I think it's just more of a technical thing.
So I'm totally on board with it, as long as it looks good.
Well, the other thing that we have to remember is that a woman named Nyla Dixon, who is like an Academy Award winning costume designer, is behind this thing. So, like, you know, she's worked on Lord of the Rings, she's worked on The Last Samurai, she's worked on some freaking huge movies, and the costume designs for, especially Lord of the Rings, were amazing. So
she worked on Juana Man, I believe, too, right?
Juana Man 2, I think, the direct-to-DVD sequel. But, so, I mean, I don't know. I think if anyone, I don't know if people are freaking out about this, but I think they probably shouldn't until we finally see an image.
Think once we see an image, I think it's just going to, I think people are just going to be like, oh.
Yeah. Yes. And it also could be one of those things where.
Start drooling.
Where when we do see an image, it'll look different on the big screen than it'll look in a promotional photo or something too, especially considering like what kind of, because if the material like moves slightly or something, you know, like has some sort of, depending on how otherworldly they go with it,
this way would keep photos, set photos from leaking out of the costume.
Well, the suit is made of energy, so maybe, I mean, that's what we thought.
If it has some sort of glow to it or something, that wouldn't necessarily translate in a still shot that they release to the press. Yeah. But it'll look different, you know, sitting in a theater seeing a trailer. So I think we've still got some time to, you know, before we see something that we can, like, legitimately make a judgment call on. But
I like the point you make, the fact that a promo still, I mean, you really still can't judge something by that. I mean, you can judge it halfway there, but I remember when this is probably a bad example because the movie didn't end up doing that great. Superman Returns, when the first promo still came out for that, everyone was like, what's up with this costume? And then you see it in film, it makes complete sense, and it works, I think, the costume.
Yeah, people are like, oh, the S is too small, the red is too dark,
the blue is too light.
And yeah, it works on film, you know, so.
Yeah. The green is too green, the black is too black. Ryan Reynolds' abs you cannot see.
So let's move on then, shall we? All
right, let's do it. I just kind of want to touch on this. There's a whole thing going on right now online. This weekend, HitFix broke news that Logan. Well, he didn't. HitFix didn't even break it because
Reawakened.
Like a month ago, it was
release the Kraken.
Okay. Anyway, real quick. Let's make a long story short.
Long story short,
dude.
Yes.
That's great.
You missed that like 20 seconds ago.
A long story short.
That's great.
So anyway, baby in.
A while ago, Logan Lerman was rumored to play Spider-Man in Mark Webb's new kind of reboot, right?
Exactly. Okay.
Even before Percy Jackson came out.
Percy Jackson came out. And then the rumor came out that he was officially cast, that, you know, Sony, it was his top guy.
Yeah,
I
love that it was a rumor that he had officially been cast.
I know, right? Well, I'm just calling it a rumor. I don't know if they call it a rumor. They call it an exclusive, whatever. And then HitFix came out this weekend pretty much saying the same things. Like, we're 100% confident that Logan Lerman is almost going to be...
Is the front runner for Spider-Man.
So, then today, Deadline Hollywood comes out and says their sources are 100% confident that Logan Lerman is not Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So here you have a clash of
the Titans.
Clash of the Titans. A clash of the sources, the rumor. Like,
I think I might rather go see that. Clash of the Sources?
Clash of the Sources.
Sounds good.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you got two big websites that have a lot of connections in Hollywood. Both of them have broken several things. One saying that he's not the front runner, he's not even a contender at all. And another one saying that he's going to be the next Spider-Man.
Well, it's interesting, too, that this is kind of the theme or the story that they're kind of arguing over is the Spider-Man story, because the same thing happened when there was still talk of Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire doing Spider-Man 4, and, like, the rumor or the news broke early, leaked out early that they were scrapping Spider-Man 4 and it was going to be a reboot and all this stuff, and then, like, Sony denied it and blah, 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 and then, like, a couple weeks later they finally came out and said, oh, yeah, you know, I think they were, at that point, they were denying it because they were waiting to get a director for the new thing, and then, like, that way, when it was all said and done, they eventually just came out and said, okay, yeah, that all that stuff's true, like, Spider-Man 4 is no more, like, and we have Mark Webb, here's the replacement that we're offering up, instead of being like, yeah, we don't know what we're doing yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they were just kind of biding their time until they could lock down something so they could present the fans with a solution instead of more questions. So maybe this is something similar where Sony is just like, Sony is feeding Deadline Hollywood the information saying like, okay, this isn't true, until they can actually lock down somebody to really play Spider-Man. I don't know. It's just weird that this is all
surrounding
Spider-Man.
Everybody's,
you know?
100% confident that they're right. So it's like,
well, I remember when we, like, Quentin Rampage Jackson was rumored for a long time to be a Baracus.
Yeah.
And then we did a story that, okay, he'd been cast, and then his manager came out and denied it, so we're like, okay, we have to correct it. And then, like, a week later,
he was cast.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, that was one thing that we kind of found out. And so when we were one of the first sites to post that, and we were like, we posted it, and it was, we found out that it was, it got shot down. We were kind of like, oh crap, it's like, that was one of our scoops. We're like, oh, I don't want to do this again. Yeah. You know, it's like, because if you give scoops and then they get shot down, it's like, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you might have it on good authority from a couple sources.
And then people give you crap for it. It was like, oh, they'll trust you again.
That's the game, man. That's how these sites like Latino Review and all these places, like, that's what they operate on, you know, is these breaking things. So, like, they play those games, and, like, it's a dangerous game sometimes.
Yeah. It is.
Like, in that case, we weren't even burned by the source. It was more like, they were just trying to rumor control before they had officially announced. So.
Right.
Yeah,
it's almost like, you know, quit playing games with my heart.
With my heart.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah. With my heart.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he does end up being cast, fine. If he doesn't, fine. He's just one of those actors. It's like, I think they could find any good young actor to take the role of Peter Parker.
Who else is being rumored? You said in your thing?
Well, and it's the thing, is like, everybody else is rumored.
Oh, yeah, I love that. In your post, you're like, I forgot, I don't know if it was Deadline or if it was a hit fix, you said it's like, beat out the other rumored actors. It's like, well, if a rumor is beating out a rumor, is it really, they're not really beating anyone out if it's a rumor, right?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like just a lot of rumors. Everybody's rumored, so it's like, what rumor is going to win?
I think everybody just
wants to. I hypothetically beat you out.
Everybody just wants to avoid another Captain America casting fiasco.
Good grief, that was retarded.
That just wore everybody down.
I hated writing. Another thing came up, you were just like, I'm not even going to write anything on this, because this is just stupid. This is getting ridiculous.
Hopefully, Sony gets their act together and kind of either cast somebody officially and kind of clear some light on this, or we just, like, don't hear anything again for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, I'd be okay with it. It's just, like, this constant back and forth about what's really going on. Like, just figure it out and control your story, but
I don't know, they might say, let's go find an unknown and then start, you know, auditioning Ryan Phillippe and
Justin Bieber.
Totally unknown.
So, yeah. I guess we'll end up eventually seeing who's cast as the new Spider-Man.
Nicholas Cage. You guess. I mean, it'll eventually happen. Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
I'm going to steal Mary Jane Watson. Yeah.
Okay, so announced recently is Conan O'Brien is going to TBS officially after these long, drawn-out negotiations with Fox. Basically, what happened is that all the affiliates with Fox had already pre-purchased the shows to show.
Syndication shows.
Like
Office, Family Guy.
And then they had sold the advertising for already. So what happened is if Conan went on Fox, he would only be on 60% of the shows at like 11, and then
60% of the areas.
Yeah, 60%
of the country or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think after about a year, no, after 3 years,
3 years,
3 years, a long time, he would be on all of them at the same time. But somewhere in between that time, he would continue to be on at like 11 or even at 1 on certain channels.
That's how it was for Kimmel for a while, wasn't it? Or no?
I don't recall. I've never been like a big Kimmel follower.
Board.
I know. He's done some pretty great skits in the past few years, but
yeah. So what happened is TBS was saying, hey, Conan, come over to us. We've asked George Lopez to move back to
Midnight.
To Midnight. And the Conan group was, whoa. We've heard this before. And we kind
of
don't.
We've been on the other end.
We've been on the other end. We're kind of not cool with that.
Yeah.
But they had.
Be cool, my baby.
They're like, no. We've talked to Lopez, and what happened is basically George Lopez called Conan, said. He was on board, and I think what
the accent.
Do the accent.
Hey, I'm on board.
I think it's deeper or something like that.
I was in Beverly Hills, Chihuahua.
Yeah, but he was on board with the idea. The reason it fits perfectly for Conan is George Lopez has the youngest median age for his viewers, which
gives him a lead-in too.
33. The lead-in is Family Guy, The Office, and some other stuff. But it also so he gets a huge lead-in, and then it's Conan. And I think for Lopez, he goes, Conan has this huge audience.
Yeah.
I'd rather follow Conan than try to build something. So I think he was on board. So Rich
he said, like, that's the best thing that could happen to my show is that Conan could be my lead-in or something.
Yeah.
Can you please do it in the accent? Come on, we're trying to be authentic here, guys.
In Mexicali.
You should know you live here.
I can't do that.
In California.
No. Which is interesting because it now is going to put them against the Daily Show and the Colbert Report.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think
about
it?
I just TiVo both. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Because
like,
at first I'm like, man, Conan's on cable. I don't have cable. Nor do I plan on getting cable because everything's on Hulu. I'm like, oh, wait. I can just watch Conan on Hulu, which I would do with it tonight when he's on the Tonight Show anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I personally, I would just DVR. I'll just DVR it every night, and like, I'm never gonna sit there and watch TBS. I don't know.
Never watched The Daily Show at the time it's supposed to be. Like, I just catch it another time, especially the Colbert Report, because they rerun it like several times.
Yeah,
I always watch the next Daily Show.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I heard this, I was a little disappointed that they were going to TBS because traditionally TBS has been like awful as far as like. Original programming, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Frank Caliendo. I don't know about you guys.
That
but
was
I've,
terrible.
I had seen Frank Caliendo do stand up and all this stuff, and I was like a big fan of his. Like, his impressions are amazing. And then he gets Frank TV on TBS, and it's like, after watching a few episodes of that, it almost made me just completely like 180 on my opinion of the guy. Like, I was just like, I can't handle this. I can't watch this. This is awful. Yeah. And the same thing, you know. I don't know. I've never been a big George Lopez guy, but... and
what else is on TV? Is My Guys on there?
My Boys, yeah. My Boys, but that's like... I don't know. I've never seen that show, so I can't say anything negative or positive about it. But, I don't know, just the Frank Caliendo thing. And, you know, TBS's slogan has been very funny for years. And, like, I don't know. Now I guess they can legitimately say that. But with bringing Conan in. But, I don't know. It disappointed me a little bit to hear that Conan was going to TBS. Like, it just seems like such a strange.
It seemed like a pretty pairing. Big downgrade.
Yeah.
In terms of the network that he could be on. Although, but I can understand. I mean, most people have cable now, and TBS is one of those basic packages.
Yeah.
It doesn't allow him to get as broad an audience as he would on network cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think especially now with a lot of people watching stuff online, I don't think it's going to be too big a problem.
Well, how long is his contract with TBS? Is it anything been said about?
Nothing's been said about contract.
I mean, would he ever, 3 years down the road, go to Fox? Is that in the future? I just want something to do right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that's a good point. Because I think, especially as time goes on, more people our age are just going to keep watching more shows. Like time shifting it, you know, like just watching it on DVRs or whatever. So like, I don't know how great the actual numbers will be as far as ratings and stuff go for Conan's new show on TBS. Although, especially in the beginning, of course, everybody's going to tune in just to see what's going on with it and you know, watch his, you know, kind of triumphant return to TV. But,
well, the thing is also, he's going to be able to get back to the comedy that kind of worked for him before. Ooh, because before, he had to clean his stuff up.
That's true.
And now he's on a network cable.
Yeah.
He's on a cable channel at 11.
At 11.
We're
that's
talking
a good...
full frontal here, guys.
That's a good point, though. At 11 on a cable channel, you can get away with a lot more than you can.
Can you cuss? NBC. Or no, one, you can cuss.
I
thought the safe harbor was past 10.
Or nice!
I think that might be right.
Cursing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It opens up
I mean,
all
what
their
time
doors.
Is South Park on? What time is South Park on?
South Park's on at 10, I think.
10. Yeah, so... I mean, you can open up
a
lot.
Yeah, that's
a
cable channel, too. So,
yeah, so you can open up a lot of stuff on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, obviously...
I'm like
I 10
times more excited, by the way, after we just kind of realized.
And also something TBS is going to be pushing, they're saying, the largest marketing campaign for a network show. I mean, for a
cable show.
For a cable show. They're going to be pushing it on all this spring. They're going to push it on the NBA playoffs.
Nice.
And then this fall, I forgot what they're pushing it on, Major League Baseball.
Oh, okay.
So those two things are just going to push a ton of Conan advertising into that.
Yeah.
So when is this, do they say when his first show is?
It's in November.
Nice.
I don't know.
Which is the earliest official time he could start because of his contract.
Was it? I thought it was September.
It is November.
Okay.
Well, that's perfectly right after, you know, World Series MLB stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's, as we see, you know, we have this tour. He's starting to build his Twitter and his other online things. I think we're going to see a, you know, kind of a different type of late night host out of Conan than he would have been had he been in kind of, let's say, the old NBC system.
Yeah, and I think maybe another positive thing is that, like, he might feel like he can just have more fun with it on TBS. Like, there's not as many expectations, like, because, you know, having a show on an NBC or, you know, like one of these established networks that's been around since literally the dawn of television brings a lot of pressure with it. And on TBS, you know, especially on cable, like, where he's like, okay, my fans are coming to follow me, like, you know, there's no, I don't have necessarily the same kind of pressures from the network to get the numbers or whatever. Like, I can just kind of do my thing, and, like, I know the people who are going to support me are going to be watching the show. So I feel like it might kind of give him a new breath of fresh energy, you know, into his thing.
I think he's also, it's like, he's not going to get a downgrade in terms of people who he's going to be able to interview. I think stars are still going to come to Conan. And also, I think something that we kind of were missing with the late night when he was doing that is before, he was able to get, like, find kind of, like, up-and-coming bands and musicians and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even possible when he was doing late night. Now,
I think when he was doing the Tonight Show.
Yeah, the Tonight Show.
It was, like, contractual things that, like, wouldn't even let, like, you have to have a certain type of act.
Yeah, so now he can basically do that again, which is, I think, when Conan was on late night, it was, like, the best-sounding stage and everything.
Yeah, best-sounding stage, the best... I mean, you...
The coolest guests. Yeah, guests you would not see.
And then bands, you were on Conan months and months and months before they hit mainstream.
Yeah, I used to watch Conan for the band, like, you know, as much for the bands as I did for the rest of the show, just because he was so great about giving people, you know, giving up-and-coming bands a shot and, like, introducing me to stuff that I'd never heard of before. So hopefully... And, you know, it's clear that he loves music... With as much as, you know, he's like an amateur guitarist and all that stuff. So it's clear that that's something that he's really passionate about. So hopefully he'll be able to return to doing that on TBS.
Well, yeah, I mean, he closed out his show with music.
So. Yeah.
Free Bird. Will Ferrell making out with his wife. Okay, so I'm just really excited. November. I'm sure we'll see more ads than maybe we'll want to see by that point.
Yeah, we might be just changing our tune a little bit because of, like, an inundation of ads from what it sounds like. But yeah, I'm definitely psyched. I'm excited just that he's going to be back on the air. I'd watch him for the next, like, 15 years regardless of where he goes. So yeah.
He could be on Telemundo or anything, and I will watch it, right? Yeah.
Conando.
Indeed. All right, I think that's pretty much it. That'll wrap us up for this episode of the podcast. Next week, coming up, or I guess this week, Kick-Ass opens, Matthew Vaughn's, kick-ass-looking movie, and Death at a Funeral, the Screen Gems remake of the 2007 British comedy. This one peppered with Chris Rock and all kinds of ridiculous characters.
Chris Rock, Martin Lawrence,
Danny Glover, pretty insane cast. I don't know. I personally, and this is just a small tirade, I don't see the point of remaking a movie.
Yeah, same here. It's such a perfect comedy.
Like, that movie in particular is really funny, and it's only 3 years old. Like, come on, really?
And in English.
And in English, yes, of course. So, you know, I think we can all recommend that if you haven't seen that version of Death at a Funeral, go rent it, check it out. I can't speak for this other one because I'm not going to see it. but Kick-Ass we most definitely will see, and we'll be talking about it next week. So thanks for listening, and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/geektyrant, and Twitter, twitter.com/geektyrant, and keep your eyes peeled. We'll be bringing you all of the movie news and such over this coming week. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys later on.
Bye.